Welcome to the Birth Warrior Podcast. In each episode, we feature the stories of birth warriors, women who have persevered to find their own truth in pregnancy and birth. As you hear these women share their stories of love, autonomy, connection, and power, it is our deepest wish that you will be inspired, empowered, and supported to find your own truth. We are honored these women have stepped forward to share their personal stories and to help us remember that we all have the power to choose what is right for us. The Birth Warrior Podcast is a presentation of the Indie Birth Association and is not intended to be medical advice.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Birth Warrior Podcast. I am your host, Jaden Graham. Today we have Greta on our show. Greta is a childbirth educator, current Birth Warrior Project student at Indie Birth, and mom to a one-year-old. Having birthed her baby peacefully at home in a country where it's considered illegal and impossible by many, she wants to remind women that it is their responsibility to take care of their pregnancies and their right to. Greta, thank you so much. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jaden. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, wherever you would want to start, I would love to hear your story.
Where to start? I guess it begins like years before my birth, because I feel like my son being wherever the baby world is at before they come, put me into the situation where I was exposed to a lot of midwives and doulas and just a whole lot of information about natural childbirth. I think the very strong beginning was when I happened to translate in a seminar with a Mexican midwife that came to Lithuania. And that was like my first real meeting to what birth could look like, you know, like outside of the hospital. Because before that, mostly I've seen just, you know, movies and just really distorted picture of what birth looks like.
The screaming,
the screaming, and everyone in panic, and all these people, and all these machines and tools, and all this craziness, you know, and the legs up, and it seemed pretty scary. Yeah, so that was my solid introduction and falling in love right there as translating. And I wasn't even planning to get pregnant back then. That was like 3 years before I got pregnant, I think. But I just got really into the natural birth and the power that we have, and just the idea that we've been given so much information that doesn't tell the truth, and that's just based so much on fear and, you know, just making it seem like women are broken and they can't give birth, and that we need to take care of them and fix them because they're not working. Yeah. So,
is that the, is that like the dominant narrative? And well, where, what country are you in currently, or where are you from?
Well, at the moment I'm in California.
Oh, okay.
United States, but.
Same state.
the action happening years before my birth and my birth, is in Lithuania.
Okay.
Europe. So a little tiny country. Less than 3 million people now.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. So what, I guess, what was the dominant narrative on birth in Lithuania?
Honestly, before I got into the circle of midwives and doulas, I didn't even know what's the general narrative, because I just wasn't into the birth world at all. Like, I wasn't reading much or listening. And it would just be random stories that I hear from some women that I meet, my mom, or, you know, my relatives. And I would just hear that, you know, a normal thing is to get an epidural because it hurts horribly. And yeah, you go to the hospital, you get an epidural, you get your vagina cut open, and then you take the baby out of you, you know. Which, though, now that I'm thinking about it more deeply, is not entirely true, because when I was 16 or 17, I saw this little movie that was like 20 minutes long about a Lithuanian midwife that I think at a time the movie was created, she was maybe the only one, you know, helping moms and babies to birth at home. So I saw that little video and I was like, wow, this is what the birth should look like. I've never seen that before. But then, you know, I just watched it. I was inspired and I forgot about it for many more years. Until that seminar with the Mexican midwife where I translated. So that's a long introduction.
No, it's great. I mean, it's all relevant. I mean, you know, some women with their birth stories, it starts when they were a child and they knew they wanted to be moms, or, you know, whatever. It's all, yeah, it's all a part of it. It's great. Now when you took that seminar, were you with your partner at the time, or was this before you even met him?
He wasn't at the seminar with me, but we were together already. Yeah, we were married.
So how soon after then did you conceive?
That was probably like 3 years after. But meanwhile, I had like two more seminars with the same midwife, like in different years. And then just seminars of other midwives, conferences. Then I just started like consuming the information, you know, going everywhere I can, because it just really interested me. And then I decided that I need to get my master's degree in somehow related to babies and pregnancy. And I had graduated from psychology before. So I was like, huh, maybe there's baby psychology. I haven't heard about it before, but maybe it exists. So I basically came up with this idea that I want that kind of master's degree. And I found maybe three options available, sort of, and one really available in Spain. And then I did everything that I could to get there. And I got my place at the university. And just about the time that I found out that I'm admitted and was buying the plane tickets and all that, I got pregnant. And just decided that, okay, I'm just gonna go through with everything that life brings. So then I went to being pregnant. I went to Spain to start my degree in perinatal psychology. I would just call it baby psychology to people because they're like, perinatal psychology, psychopathology, what's that? And then I studied there for a few months and was kind of disappointed, you know, after having communicated with really wise women and wise people that see like really large, you know, perspective of what birth is. That was a little watered down and limited and still very much in the medical model. So then after like 3 months, I was like, you know, forget about it. I just want to enjoy my pregnancy. And then I left. And so where does this take us? Where should I take the story now?
Wherever. Well, so you were in Spain, and then you said that you had that the actual birth had, you said the actual birth had taken place in California.
No, in Lithuania.
Oh no, in Lithuania. Okay, sorry. You're in California now.
Yeah, I know. Okay. It's confusing because I was in Spain, then I went to California really quick for a month, and then got back to Lithuania, and we found our house for that time, and just peacefully waited for birth for, I don't know, it was like a couple of months left. And so as I was in all these countries, Lithuania and, you know, United States and Spain, I didn't have any medical care. I chose not to have, really. I did a couple of blood works with, you know, like cousin's girlfriend who does blood work, who came to me and did it at the house and all that. And then when I got back to Lithuania, I found out that in order to get baby's birth certificate, you have to be officially pregnant.
Oh, and
wow. You're only officially pregnant if you've gone through the medical system and, you know, someone approved your pregnancy and all that.
Oh, geez.
So then at the 7th month of pregnancy, I was trying to figure out, okay, so how am I going to do this part? Because I know that we're going to want to travel, so we're going to need the birth certificate for our baby. So then I ended up finding a really wonderful doctor who I think has a lot of people coming to her who were in similar kind of situation. And I think she's probably, I was told that she's the only doctor in Lithuania that would get along with me.
Well, yeah, that's good that you had her then.
Yeah. So she helped me do the paperwork. She made me officially pregnant. She collected all my little blood work notes from different countries that I had, you know, and so that wasn't so horrible after all, but you know, I had to go through a more like a psychological process where I really don't even want to go to any clinic or anything.
Right.
Like, I don't feel like I need it. I know what's going on in my body.
To quote unquote prove you're pregnant.
And I told her that, you know, my cycle is like longer than average. It's like usually over 30 days. So maybe, you know, count the due date based on that.
Right.
And she's like, well, let's just try 28.
Yeah.
You know. And so even after me lying, really, my last period date, she still wrote a due date that would be too early. And that was like really, wow, like thinking that so many women don't have this information, don't have this knowledge, and they don't track their cycles, you know, and then they go and they get due dates that are like 3 weeks off, you know.
Totally.
And
totally.
They reach the 40 weeks and they're induced.
Yeah. it's insane. And then also when you like really start to pay attention to yourself, pay attention to your body, and then, you know, it's demystified essentially, but then you have that, then you have that information, and then, you know, it's like, oh yeah, of course, like this is when I'm ovulating, or this is, you know, to just have that intimacy with yourself is just really profound. But then to also know that intimacy and then to go into the medical model and all of a sudden just be like, oh no, we're just going to stick with our way. Like every woman ovulates at 14 days and then at 28 days you bleed. Yeah. It's bullshit. it's really quite frustrating for sure. I'm glad though that you, that, you know, you got over that hurdle and you did have your baby at home and, you know, what sounded like from what I read, just a really beautiful and cozy and just dreamy space. And yeah, I would definitely love to, hear about that now. Let's talk about your birth.
Yeah, that's probably enough of the politics.
It's something that I feel like is very, it's good that we talk about this because, you know, we know this, you know, we both have been, you know, had that experience. And, you know, I'm sure that there are a lot of women out there that, you know, they know that there's something innately just wrong with what they're being told by doctors or, you know, by whomever, maybe even sometimes their own midwife, you know, just depending on the politics of that particular midwife. And, you know, it's good to just continue having these conversations because you never know who is going to listen and who is going to be like, oh, hell no. Like, I'm not going to believe that story anymore. I'm not going to believe that narrative. So thank you. Like, thanks for going on that rant. But yeah, definitely let's hear about the birth. And as I just for our listeners, I'm going to reiterate this again. I loved Greta's birth story. Just reading it was pure poetry. It was so good. So yeah, just anywhere where you want to start off with that.
Yeah, you can probably add a link to my birth story. Most of the stuff that I write is in Lithuanian, but the birth story I have in English too. So if anyone's going to want to read, you know, because yeah. Now, like, a year after, it's been over a year after birth, I feel like I'm probably telling it like a lot differently than back then.
Yeah.
You know, you integrate the story and the experience,
mm-hmm.
but it's still very beautiful. So, the last day before my birth, we went on a picnic. I remember that really clearly because we were living by the forest and we went for a pretty solid walk and a picnic by the river. And I remember that as I was walking, I was saying, you know, if I want to give birth sooner, I should just go on another walk like this, because every few steps I would just feel my belly like tighten really hard, mm-hmm. but it wasn't pain or anything. It would just tighten and I would have to kind of breathe through it and then continue going, continue walking. So it turns out that was the walk, because we got back and we had friends over and I just felt really good. I felt like really fun and peaceful. And I did the dishes. I feel like the nesting was like really, really kicking in where it's like, okay, I really need the house to be clean right now. And we just went to bed. And that night I woke up at like 3 at night, probably, thinking, okay, this is it. Because I felt my uterus practicing way before, like I would say months before I would feel the tightenings, but they were mild and gentle and just felt like, you know, practice. And that time it was like, okay, this is not practicing anymore. This is like something's really going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried staying in bed as long as possible. Maybe I'll close the window. I feel like someone's cutting the grass or something. Here it is. Excuse me for that.
No worries.
So I tried staying in bed as long as possible. That was probably like a couple of hours, you know, changing positions, rolling around, mm-hmm. just breathing through. And then I just started feeling like I'm cold and uncomfortable and I can't be in bed anymore. So I was like, okay, get up right now, you know, to my husband. Start the fire because I'm giving birth. And I remember that night the moon was really beautiful. When I got up with those first like real contractions, I looked through the window and the moon was totally red. And I was like, yep, yeah, this is it. That's for sure.
That's the sign.
Yeah. So he started the fire and the house heated up and then I just like wasn't able to stay in bed anymore. So I started literally like running around the house. I felt like I needed to move so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really helped me to go like, I don't know, go through the intensity. Mm-hmm. And I tried like, you know, tracking my contractions, like how often they come, how long they last. I did it maybe 3-4 rounds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is ridiculous. This does not make me feel good. And it just like takes me away from my center. I'm not going to do this. Like everything's happening and I'm cool with whatever's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I tried eating a little bit. I ate fruit salad and that felt really good. And mm-hmm. I feel like I was moving a lot and just like changing my position and changing my place, just like literally using the space of the house. And I would get in the tub when it would feel like I need to, or it feels nice. And that really helped, you know, the hot water
mm-hmm.
really relaxed everything. And I don't know how many hours went by, and I felt like, okay, I should call. I had a woman that I feel like the best way to describe her would just be to call her sister, because that's how it felt. I met her way back, also before birth, in another seminar with the same Mexican midwife. And when I met her, I felt like, wow, when I give birth, I want this woman to be with me.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, from the beginning of pregnancy, I was communicating with her, and just like really just sister level, where I could just call to her and we would talk. I would talk about my pregnancy, and mostly she would talk about her stuff, and there was no like, you know, she wasn't an authority figure or anything like that, where, you know, you have to do this or that. It was just like really equal sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think probably like halfway through my labor, we called her and asked her to come. And I think at that point it was like, you know, those waves were coming like every 2 minutes or so. Because I remember like I was talking with her and she started saying, yeah, I'm just going to drink my coffee and come. And I was like, oh, I can't say anything. I don't hear her anymore. Like, I was just like, I think I was just making signs with my hands to my husband, mm-hmm. meaning like, tell her to come. Mm-hmm. I can't say anything anymore. I think yeah. I didn't say anything, and he just told her what I wanted him to tell her.
Totally. Yeah, actually, that was one part. Reading your story that I actually jotted down, just because I thought it was really great. Just around 7 or 8 a.m., I call the sister to tell her what's happening. I don't hear an answer, but I know she's coming. And it was just just reading that, I was like, oh, that's just so amazing to just have that, like, just that connection with someone, especially a sister, to just be like, okay, yeah, I got you. I know what's happening. I'm there. I'm coming.
Yeah. It's precious. It's so wonderful to have that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and she came and she managed to get some spring water on the way.
Nice.
When I think about the moment when she stepped into the house, it's like so funny, because now I feel like, even since my birth, I feel like now I have a lot more knowledge, like about hormones and all that. And I think back, and when she stepped in, I was like lying down on the floor on my side with my leg up, all spread out, naked. And I mean, yep, endorphins definitely kicked in.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was really beautiful. She came in and just like felt like she is part of the whole thing, you know, for sure. We're just all like essential parts of the process. Mm-hmm. Me, her, and my husband, and the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel like from that point, I don't know what happened when. I just felt like it's getting more and more intense, and I was like really just like felt like in another world, another space, where I just know that I was wild and really felt more like an animal more than ever before. Made sounds that I never heard myself make. And it felt good. It felt really good to just be able to do that. And not have to like tame myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I really wanted, like, I felt like I needed support underneath me. I was like leaning forward a lot and felt like I need to hold on to something. But I remember that I didn't want any pillows or couch or anything. I was like, I want a human underneath me. So it was either my husband or her, like, you know, interchanging. And they were just holding all my weight. And I think I was like squeezing them and like almost biting them. And they were both just really like holding me. And it's really nice to have that kind of support. I don't know why, but it just felt like, okay, pillow is not gonna do. I need like flesh.
You need a body. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, so they, you know, they did everything that I needed. Yeah, like right now I remember little moments that I didn't remember right after birth, like one funny moment. I remember I was really, that was when already the baby was going down. I like could not push, you know? I just felt like my body is doing it and it's just, okay, baby's coming out. I can't hold it anymore. Because mm-hmm. for a while there, I feel like I had this fear of tearing. So I was like holding as long as I can, like mm-hmm. not pushing before. It's just like, okay, I'm breathing through and the baby's gonna come out whenever he needs to come out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So at that point when he was already going down, I was screaming. And I remember her saying like, you know, like if you bring your voice down, like lower the pitch, then you're gonna bring the energy down, like down into your body to, you know, like push the baby out. And I was like, no, I'm a Meg Askin said that I have to open my mouth. You open your mouth, vagina open, don't tell me what to do, you know? I think that's really funny.
It is really funny.
Yeah.
Did she mean, when she meant change the pitch, did she mean like, I guess, sink from, like, where was your pitch at that point in time? Do you remember? Was it like kind of like what, you know, one of those like deep O's? No, I'm like restraining yeah. myself from doing I want no, to
it but. Wasn't the deep one. It was actually like a really high pitch sound, and mm-hmm. I understand what she meant, you
yeah
know?
Totally,
yeah, it does change the energy,
and it totally does.
I was trying to like bring it down, you know,
yeah,
but I still like felt like arguing for some reason.
Ina May said this.
Yeah. Yeah, so then when, you know, when that was happening, I somehow got on all fours. Actually, I think mm-hmm. she was underneath me.
Oh, that's
and I
funny.
Was, like, somehow, like, holding on to her with my, you know, my entire top of my body was on top of her. And she was, like, in a little baby pose, mm-hmm. holding my weight. And my husband was behind me, like, ready to catch the baby. And I think I yelled at him, don't touch me. And then I just remember seeing, you know, the little head come out. The full of black hair. He had so much Aww. Hair in his head. And I just saw that black head, or, you know, not black head, but like, you know, black hair in the head. And it's crazy to feel that, like, wow, this is my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember that she was telling me that usually after the head comes out, there's a little pause so you can take a deep breath, you know, recollect. And then that was like way before that she was telling me that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was ready for the pause then, you know, because I saw the head come out and I was like, yeah, now it's going to be the pause. And there was no pause. Then it, at least to me, it felt like there was no pause. And that's it. Like the rest of the body just slipped out.
Mm.
And my husband caught him. I didn't know, actually, neither one of us knew if it was going to be a girl or a boy. Mm-hmm. And I was leaning towards the girl. So mm-hmm. it was pretty surprising that it was a boy. But so that moment when he slipped out, it felt like the world just turned upside down, you know, where it was like so intense. And then now, wow, like totally still. In a matter of seconds. And I just remember that I knew that the baby is out already, and I didn't rush to look at him. I like took a couple of deep breaths. I knew that he's good. I heard him, and I knew that he's in dad's hands. And then the cord was really short, and he somehow like passed him to me under my leg, and I was like, okay, this is my baby, wow, yeah. This is my son. I had no idea. And yeah, and then I looked at him, and I picked him up, and then we were just cuddling for like hours. And it's funny, there's some photos from that, you know, then the midwife or the sister, however you call it, she grabbed the camera and took some photos. And when I look at the photos now, I feel like the entire time there that we were like hanging out together, I was in a vertical position. I didn't feel like lying down at all. I was so like full of energy. Mm-hmm. And I was either sitting, or later I remember I stood up because my placenta stayed in for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, maybe if I stand up, it's going to help it, you know, it's going to help bringing it down. But it didn't come down. So I just sat down again. And now when I look back, I think my placenta was, you know, separated like soon after, but I just didn't feel like really ready to like push it out. Mm-hmm. Or I was feeling like, I was hoping that there's going to be like another strong contraction or something where I'm going to feel an urge to push it out. And that never came. I didn't feel an urge to push the placenta out. So I was just sitting with it there, and I wasn't bleeding. Everything, I felt great. And so it stayed in for like 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And then also because the cord was super short, like I feel like, wow, I couldn't even imagine that the umbilical cord could be this short. He was like right there. I could barely put him on my chest because, you know, it was so short.
Totally. My son's cord was really short too. And totally feel that. Yeah.
So then it was really like uncomfortable to like put him down or try to hold him and at the same time get placenta out. Mm. So after those 3 or so hours, we just ended up cutting the umbilical cord. Mm. And then I went to the bathroom, got into the tub, and just one easy push, and you know, placenta was totally ready to come out. Probably was sitting there for a while. Like, you know, I think the blood had dried up. But it was beautiful. Like, there was no doubt that, you know, it's entire placenta, no pieces missing. We did some placenta stamps on the big paper. Like, we had big sketchbook. Mm. And we stamped the placenta on there. And
how that's beautiful.
Yeah, like it came out like really beautiful trees. And then, the woman that was with us, soon after that, I think she left. She took my placenta and brought it to another midwife to encapsulate it. And then brought it back to me, I think, the next day or so. And we just stayed in bed pretty much for a couple of weeks.
That sounds lovely. That sounds great.
Yeah, actually, we weren't planning to put any clothes on the baby, I remember. And the first night, we were lying down and I had him on my chest. I was like, you know, I'm getting a little tired. I feel like I would like to like turn, you know, but then I was so worried that, you know, he's going to get cold if he's not on my skin. Mm-hmm. So we put little clothes on him and a little hat. And he looked so funny. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he was just sleeping in between us. But that was the only time that he was wearing clothes during the first 2 weeks, because then the next day I took it off and never put them back on. And yeah, I had no doubt that he's perfectly healthy because he had a great color. Mm-hmm. And he was really alert from day one. And we actually, I don't know if it was first day or second day, I fed him and then he took a nap. And he was still fussing. And we're like, huh, what could this be? And then my husband saying, maybe he wants to use the bathroom. And then he picked him up and took him over the sink. And sure enough, he peed and pooped and everything. And that was so exciting. Because we had learned about elimination communication before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this idea that babies tell you when they want to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And like it's proved right. So that was really exciting feedback, from the very beginning. And then we continued with that. We use diapers still like as a backup, mm-hmm. but I feel like that was really a nice part of the journey too. Since then,
That's awesome. How old is he now?
He is a year and a month almost.
Cool. Yeah. Happy belated birthday and happy thank belated you. Birthing day to you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, is there anything, any other bits of wisdom that you would like to leave everyone with?
Bits of wisdom.
Or just anything that you didn't tell yet that you would like to share? Just
I guess the wisdom part would be to just, follow your heart and don't give in into whatever anyone's telling you, because you know the best. No one else can know the way you do. And, as in my story, I love how it went and I love, a lot of things about it. But there's tiny little things that I would do differently now, like not regarding the birth, but maybe after, because 2 weeks after birth, we had our first little trip, not where we would want to go. We went to the doctor's office again for the paperwork, because, someone had to approve that the baby was born.
Prove you're pregnant and approve the baby.
So someone had to approve the baby being born and, approve that I gave birth. Mm-hmm. And I remember then when I went to the gynecologist, I agreed to an ultrasound. The baby was out and I just wanted to be out of that office as soon as possible.
Right.
And she was like, I'm as stuck in the system as you are. If I don't do this right now, I'm like risking, my stuff, my license and all that. And I have to do this because that's what we're ordered to do pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I have to ensure that there's no placenta pieces left or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I had 30 second ultrasound and, wasn't that big of a deal, but looking back or looking forward actually to my future births, I would not want to do that. And also, taking baby to a doctor when he's totally healthy and I know everything's right with him also didn't feel right. We were there and the doctor was really gentle and just looked at him basically because we denied all the other procedures that he do and all the needles and all that. But still, that wasn't part of really our plan. It wasn't coming from within and didn't feel right. So yeah, I feel like the next time I would try to avoid that as much as possible or maybe postpone it to a later date. Because I feel like 2 weeks is still really, really sensitive time. I feel like it's too early to go anywhere for the baby.
Yeah. I mean, in so many different cultures, it's, 40 days, which, is essentially a little bit under 6 weeks. And yeah, it's crazy. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And I will definitely link the transcript or the actual story itself. It's in your blog, correct?
Yeah.
And is it just in Lithuanian or is it in?
Well, most of the blog is in Lithuanian.
Yes.
And there's only a few articles, basically just personal stories, the birth story and then some experiences with baby after that are translated to English.
Mm-hmm.
I might possibly translate more stuff into English, but
the internet, the internet has one, they have those translator tools, so people can just do that if they need to translate it. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, thank you so, 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 so much. Look at the, all those listening, if you want to check out Greta's birth story, you can find that in the show notes. And Greta, thank you so much. And
thank you, Jaden.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yes, so much fun. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Storytelling is a profound agent of change, one that has the ability to plant seeds of inspiration, introspection, and beyond. If you have an empowering birth story that you would like to share on our podcast,
please head over to indiebirth.org/birthwarrior to send your submissions. That's indiebirth.org/birthwarrior. Hope you have a beautiful week wherever you are in the world. Until next time, friends.